You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson.
Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Good morning, happy Sunday. This is Get Radio and welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during this show, for more than 200 shows, we have been sharing the stories, the expertise and the knowledge of business leaders large and small with you, the listener, and this week is going to be no different. On today's show, I'm really excited actually to be joined by Rosie Jacobs of Independent Oxford, who are just about to celebrate their 10th year anniversary. So happy birthday. We're going to be hearing all about Independent Oxford, and I think we're also, hence the name, we're going to be talking about independence in Oxford, so I'm sure it's going to be a really interesting show. This is the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. I look forward to welcoming Rosie after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, today we're joined by Rosie Jacobs of Independent Oxford. Welcome, Rosie.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
So well, so well. Thank you for joining us and happy birthday to Independent Oxford.
Oh, thank you so much. It does feel like a momentous year for Indie Oxford. I can't believe it's been 10 years.
Time flies when you're having fun. For those who don't know you or indeed Independent Oxford, who are you and who is Independent Oxford?
So I'm Rosie Jacobs and I set up Independent Oxford in 2015 with Anna Munday, who now works at the Ashmolean, but then was at the old fire station, and I was running my own business. And we both met and felt that there was a lack of space for indies to come together and creatives to come together in Oxford, and then latterly across the county as well, and so we just wanted to kind of create this informal network, and that's how it began. So in March 2015 we had our first meetup at the Annie Sloan shop on Cowley Road, and it was just a great chance for indie businesses to come together, kind of get some peer support, share in the kind of joy, the ups and downs of running businesses. So that's how it all began. So, and it's grown now into, it is still a network for indies to come together. But we also have a website, which helps to promote indies in the county and the benefits, and joys of supporting independent businesses. So that's for indies across the county. So we're kind of Oxfordshire wide, and we're now 180 members. It's a great community and it's an absolute joy to be at its helm.
Amazing. No, and you do have such a good reputation for the way that you support independent businesses. So thank you for that. The most difficult question that we find our guests are asked is the song choice. And the reason for it is we're all experts within our sector or within our business, aren't we? But having to be a DJ for a couple of minutes is high pressure. And I always make my guests feel awkward with this because I build it up so much. But now let's talk about your song choice. You've chosen a song for our listeners this morning. What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
Okay, so this was quite a hard one, but I've chosen this song because it's very joyful and it's all about kind of celebrating good times, so I feel like it's very fitting for our kind of anniversary week and anniversary year. So I've gone for Holiday by Confidence Man.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Following that song chosen by Rosie, today we're joined by Rosie Jacobs of Independent Oxford. So this morning we are going to be celebrating their 10th year anniversary, but we're also going to be talking all things independent, I'm sure. So let's just start with a bit of a big question, really. I think one of the things that we've really kind of learned on this show is it's always good not to presume. So what makes a really good independent business?
That is a very good question, and a good one to start with. So I would say a really good independent business is one that really listens to their customers and really builds a community for their customers. Interestingly, we kind of started the year looking at different sectors within the community. So Independent Oxford largely covers four different business sectors. So that's health and well-being, creative industries like photographers, marketeers, and then hospitality, food businesses, and then product and retail. So those are the kind of four distinct areas that generally Independent Oxford members fit into. And really, the ones that are really kind of looking forward to the year ahead and have had a good kind of previous year are the ones that are really kind of thinking about, okay, everybody's going through hard times. We've got the cost of living crisis. People are really consciously thinking about the money in their wallets and how they want to spend it. And the businesses that are doing well are the ones that are really kind of leaning into getting customer feedback, reacting to their customers, and creating community spaces. So whether that's physical businesses, the brick businesses that have got bricks and mortar and can offer a physical space for people to come to, but even the businesses that are online really creating communities for people to gather and come together and feel like they're part of something, feel like they're part of a tribe. Those businesses are the ones that are really kind of connecting and showing that they've got that kind of sustainability to create these kind of long-term businesses that are thriving and just making kind of cohesiveness for our neighborhoods and our communities. So I think that's the key.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting there that we've actually discussed in previous shows is that listening to customers. I think that often as an owner managed business myself, I think sometimes it's really easy to take feedback personally, and I think it's very easy to think, why don't they like my coffee? My coffee's the best coffee. But at the same time, I think that it's so important that as small businesses, we're able to really get that feedback and really evolve and adapt and grow over a period of time. Just on that note, what kind of things have you seen small businesses do in order to get feedback and in order to be able to really listen to their customers? What kind of things could small businesses or independent businesses consider?
So I think it's cultivating newsletter channels that where there's a dialogue between the business owner and the customer. So that's a great way of getting feedback forms. Whether you incentivize that or not, that seems to be a good way of collecting more kind of qualitative data. But I think the beauty of an independent business is that they are largely kind of owner operated. So
Absolutely.
the owner is at the front line. They are building those relationships, and often those relationships are go beyond a business relationship. People are these friends for life in lots of cases. So it really is the fact that they are in the business every day, and you'll know this yourself, Ben. You're there, you're on the shop floor. You can really react to how customers are changing, what their needs are changing, how people are spending. All of that stuff can be reacted to in a way that large chains and larger businesses just cannot, because they are the tankers of the business world, aren't they? It's so much harder to move a big corporation round, and the beauty of a small business is that you've got that fleet of foot, and that you can be like, right, actually, we've seen this big shift in how our customers are spending or how they're thinking about their businesses, or whatever your customer base is. You've got that real kind of ability to shift how you structure your business very quickly, and I think that's the beauty of indies, that they really care, and they care about their customers, and they can shift how they work very, very quickly, and make sure that they're constantly evolving and innovating and growing to meet their customers' needs.
No, absolutely. One of the sketches that I've seen go around a lot of times, and I think it is really, really, a really good one and really important. I can't remember the stats, but if you spend £1 within a small independent business, it's spent however many local times in the local community. If you spend £1 within Amazon, not that there's anything wrong with Amazon, but so Amazon, you're off the hook. But if you spend £1 within Amazon, it goes to America or wherever it goes. Should we as Oxfordshire really put a focus on independence? Should we go independent first? And what are some of the tips that you would give around, I guess, changing our buying habits and our life habits to support some of these independent businesses as to create that win-win? So those pounds are spent more and more and more times across our local community.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's 60p in every pound spent an indie stays in the community. And I think Oxford really struggles in that it's got huge problems with inequality. Mm. And one of the ways that we can tackle that is through spending locally. So the more people that shop locally, support local businesses, the more that money is being reinvested in our local economies, which is better for everybody. We all benefit when we spend money locally. I would just argue that there are issues with Amazon.
I was trying not to be political, but I do personally always try and buy from a small independent business, and I will only buy from a big business if there is no other choice. But nevertheless, you've said it, not me. So I'm off the hook.
Yes. Okay, great. So I would always say, you know, where possible, think local first. Mm. And I completely understand that, you know, we're all challenged financially at the moment. So, you know, it's not always possible, but it's really kind of just being conscious of how you spend your money and you know, thinking about, you know, are there, you know, a million and one things that you're subscribed to that maybe you don't need to be subscribed to? And, you know, if you're really struggling for money, thinking about other ways that you can support businesses. So, you know, just liking their Instagram posts, you know, things like that, all of that counts. It's all really important because it's all helping to raise the profile of independent businesses and just promote them as a movement. I think, you know, collectively, there's so much kind of goodwill and collaboration between businesses and to have that kind of positive energy and that feeling of community is brilliant. And the more people that support those businesses are part of those communities, you know, we all benefit from that. So I think, you know, think indie first always.
No, absolutely. And I think sometimes from like an outside point of view, I think some of our friends and family or whatever, and sometimes not realise such a big impact that it has. Like I know within our recruitment business, like we're small, there's four of us in Abingdon. And actually all of our business initially came through network and referrals and recommendations. And then we just started getting reviews and we got lots of 5-star reviews. And then suddenly we get loads of recommendations or calls through Google because we rank well. And we've not spent a penny on that. It's just that we've had a lot of reviews. And for all those people that have done that, thank you. But also, I think that it's not been a huge amount of time. They've probably not necessarily left a review and thought, oh, that's going to make them rank well on Google and get other people to call them. But it does make such a big difference, doesn't it? And I think that if we go back to Amazon, poor Amazon, but if we go back to Amazon, a 5-star review for Amazon isn't going to make any difference to their business. A 1-star review isn't going to make any difference to their business. But to an independent, it really is, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a really good point around Google reviews, especially, you know, it does help businesses rank higher. So, yeah, anything that you can help to kind of say, you know, if you've had a good experience, tell people about it, because, you know, a lot of it is word of mouth and just kind of making sure that people are aware of these awesome businesses. You know, I'm really passionate about kind of, you know, shouting about all the incredible people and amazing businesses and hearing their stories is incredible. You know, a lot of indie businesses are started because there's been some light bulb moment or some huge shift in their life that has mean that they've started that business. And so there's real kind of passion and incredible dedication to what people are doing. So be able to kind of walk with them a bit on their journey, the small amount that I do through Independent Oxford. It's just brilliant. And every day that I go to a networking meetup, or have a one-to-one with businesses, or write a blog about them, it's just so heartwarming to hear those stories. And I think to be to feel like you're kind of part of their orbit is brilliant. And that is kind of, for me, the kind of number one reason why we should all be kind of supporting them, because they are amazing people. And as you know, running an indie business is hard work, and you're in it for the you're in it for the long haul. And so many small businesses don't get past 5 years, because it is one of the hardest things that you can do. So been able to kind of help them, reach those kind of long-term goals, it's just brilliant.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Let's have a song, and we'll continue the conversation after this.
Introducing you to local trusted experts. This is The Business Brunch, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network, the friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Sign up to our mailing list at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to The Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Today I'm joined by Rosie Jacobs of Independent Oxford. And today we're really talking about all about independence, but also I hope you've got your party hat on, because we're celebrating the 10th year anniversary of Rosie celebrating and supporting independence all across Oxfordshire. So I want to really continue with not being political, but being political. Sorry, Get Radio. And I think that one of the things that I hear regularly with this radio show is that the government or the council could do so much more to support independence, and that Oxford's half empty or Abingdon's half empty. But I think if we just focus on two towns from my uneducated outside view, Witney seems to have some good shops, but it also seems to have a lot of independence. Abingdon doesn't. I guess, if you're able to put a finger on why that is, fine. But I guess more my question is about what can we do as a planet, as a country, as a county, to get more independence on our high street? Because I think that's really what everyone wants, isn't it, really?
Yeah, no, and it's a good question. I would argue that there's some really great independent businesses in Abingdon. But yeah, I mean, I suppose it's a kind of smaller town centre, so maybe that's why. I think for me, the thing that's really hit home over the last 10 years of running Independent Oxford is the impact of landlords on our high streets. That, yes, that it may be that, governments and authorities could be doing more in certain cases, but actually, we have a landlord problem in the UK, and that is really kind of has a stranglehold on our high streets. And until we can find a time when we can, have more community owned spaces, I mean, I think that would be, if we're talking about kind of blue sky thinking, of how a future could be for our towns and neighborhoods and communities, it would be great if communities could kind of reclaim town centers, city centers, high streets, because really we need to be creating a space where businesses can launch and have a real go at running a business, because at the moment, with the kind of the landscape as it is, it's really hard to find bricks and mortar that's affordable. And that's kind of one of the biggest reasons that businesses fail within the first few years, is because of that, or that they just can never find the space. So I do feel like if we could imagine a world, if we could get to a space where, we had lots of community owned space on our high streets, it would really help them flourish, and we'd have, a better landscape of incredible businesses and lots of, diversity and, lots of difference, which I think, we'd all benefit from.
Absolutely. I am going to give a past show a little bit of a plug here, if that's okay. Just because we spoke about Abingdon there, and I would guess about 3.5 years ago, we interviewed Jill of Added Ingredients, which was a shop back then. And Jill, by her own admission, and living in Aberdeen, I've seen she worked incredibly hard. But there were huge challenges over the years of running a delicatessen in Aberdeen, and she was having to pivot and change and worked really hard. But she managed to buy that property early, and she was paying a mortgage off each year. Eventually she stopped running out of ingredients. But I think what Jill did as a then landlord, former business owner, is she really interviewed local businesses and really wanted to get a good, sustainable local business into that store that she would support. She got the store completely refurbished for them. She gave all of the equipment, very reasonable on rent, and in some ways coached them. And that pint shop is still there now. Let's guess 3.5 years later, I am guessing. But absolutely booming. And I think sometimes if you look at that, yes, there have been the challenges of the small business, but there is that win-win. It made commercial sense over a period of time for Jill. It made sense for the new owner. It made sense for Abingdon. And it made sense for the community. And I think that's an example of a landlord relationship that has been really good.
Mm, that's really interesting. And I think that we need to see more of that. Mm. Business owners really need that space to feel like they're kind of supported, whether that's peer support, having a mentor, having that kind of that experience is just so crucial. And you know, we're lucky in Oxfordshire that we have got some, you know, we've got some brilliant business networks. There are you know, there are loads to choose from, and there's some great support, whether that's through OSERP, so the Oxfordshire Social Enterprise Partnership, the BIPC and the library. You know, we've got a great business support program there, and of course OxLEP as well. You know, we're lucky that we have the business support available. However, business owners don't always see themselves as a business, so sometimes some of that kind of business jargon can feel like a bit of a barrier. So having somebody that's, you know, taken on a space and then willing to kind of coach and mentor a business through the process of setting up is incredible, and we need more of that, and we need more kind of organizations that are helping to open up space as well. So Makespace is a great example of an organization that's really trying to kind of unlock unused space across the county, and I know they've got a space in Abingdon as well as Oxford and Didcot and Wantage, and they're really kind of, you know, trying to kind of create that future vision that will hopefully mean that, you know, we've got more accessible spaces for businesses to try out. Because ultimately that's the thing, you know, people just want to have a space, they want to have an opportunity to try out their ideas. So, you know, the more that we can create that environment for people, the more we'll see, you know, interesting and innovative businesses coming through. And, you know, that's an exciting proposition, I would have thought. So it's great that, you know, Makespace are being kind of supported to increase that offer. But yeah, I think that the more we can kind of create spaces for people to get peer support and mentoring, the more that will kind of help to create this this kind of environment for businesses to thrive and grow.
No, absolutely. So let's talk about this peer support and mentoring. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a chicken and an egg analogy, if that's okay, or question maybe. So somebody's listening at home right now, they've started an independent business or they're thinking about starting an independent business. What is the point where you reach out to an organisation like Independent Oxford or some of the other great organisations you spoke about? Does the mentoring come before you set up the business? Should you do that? And should you get the ideas of how to do it? Do you need a mentoring for your whole business journey? Like, what's your advice to those listening at home right now?
Well, I think that each person is different.
Of course.
But I personally feel, and I don't know whether you had this on your business journey, Ben, but that being able to kind of do some fact finding before you even kind of start really honing what your kind of business strategy is really important. So, you know, being able to kind of, you know, a first first instance, you know, turning to friends and family and saying, hey, I've got this idea, what do you think? But then that becomes a bit of an echo chamber. So to be able to go to a business network and say, right, I'm thinking about this idea, you know, can you see, you know, potential pitfalls? Mm. Where are the challenges? Where are the opportunities here? I think from, you know, really early on, so when you're really kind of thinking about, you've got that acorn of an idea and you're really kind of thinking about, okay, how do I kind of flesh this out? You know, is this a viable business? Mm. So I think from really, really early on, it's really worth thinking about growing your network. And one of the best bits of advice that I ever had in my career was always be raising your profile. So really think about how you can use networks to find the right people to help you. So I am just like evangelical about networking because I think it's so important, both for you and for your business. You know, not only is it a great tool for marketing, but it's a great space to be able to test those ideas. So even, you know, you talked about, you know, should you be, you know, continuing to look for business support throughout the journey of your business? And absolutely, I think it's something that you should be kind of investing in from the get-go, really, because you need that peer support, because you need that space to be able to kind of question and find information, share knowledge. You know, networking is all about that kind of open source, you know, learning, essentially. You know, you're creating a space where you can help to raise your profile and tell people about what you're passionate about and why you're doing your business and what your business is. But it's a two-way street, and you're kind of learning from other people. And as you're, you know, your businesses are constantly evolving and changing and having to, you know, pivot and think about, you know, what the climate is, how to react to your customers' needs. So being able to have those spaces is ultimately just invaluable.
Yeah, I absolutely couldn't agree more. I think something that often is forgotten is that we all set up our business because we were passionate about X, or we were really good about Y. So we're hairdressers, we're great at cutting hair, but we're not really necessarily great on doing management accounts, or we're not necessarily really great on marketing. And I think that if I was to think back over the 500 or 600 maybe guests that we've interviewed now over the years, I think that the biggest trait of the really successful ones are the ones that just want to absorb information like a sponge. And actually, I think that all of them, every single one that I would say falls into that category, are always so willing to share that information, share ideas, even with their closest competitors, because I think that there is enough business for all of us, isn't there? In terms of independent Oxford, can we just really kind of talk about the 10 years, really? So if we go right back to the start and the vision, then really kind of how the 10 year journey has gone up until today. So big question, no pressure, go.
So 10 years, potted history. So yeah, I mean, so as I said at the start, it really started because it was a need that both Anna and I felt that there just wasn't a space for kind of creative businesses, essentially, and indies to come together. So we started it because we felt a personal need that we wanted to, you know, have this space. And it was great that other people, you know, felt the need as well. So it grew really organically. So we started in 2015, and then we started kind of collaborating with other local stakeholders and other groups. So in 2017, we collaborated with Bitten Oxford, who are another great local business that helped promote food and drink businesses in Oxfordshire. And we created the Indie Oxford Compendium, which is a great physical printed book, and that was a great thing to be able to do together, and kind of working with different organisations like that is a great way to just kind of build our community and feel like we're kind of working together. And I think, you know, one of the other benefits of being part of a network is, you know, if you work, I work from home, so being able to kind of come together and not feel kind of isolated and lonely, you know, that was really important for us as well, to have kind of regular meetups where people could come together, and find collaborative opportunities, you know, always looking for ways to kind of collaborate with other businesses. So it was great to work with Bitten. We've also done campaigns with Daily Info, and during COVID we did like a 4-hour live kind of QVC style shopping channel with Ox in a Box, which was great fun. So we're kind of always looking for like great ways to promote independent businesses. We did 2 pop-up shops in the Cover Markets in 2018 and 2019, which created these kind of great marketplaces for indies. We'd done Christmas markets every year, so when Telstra Kitchen was in town, we did a Christmas market. I think our first Christmas market, we had about 2,000 people came, and people were like queuing at the door to get in. It was crazy. And now we do it at Tap Social, and have, you know, similarly, you know, great numbers of people that come through because people really want to support indies in Oxford, and it's great to kind of create an event where, you know, both businesses and indie fans can come together and kind of celebrate that. So yeah, so across the years we have done loads of things to really kind of embody what we kind of feel is important, which is kind of community and collaboration. So always looking at ways to promote independent businesses. So yeah, and at the heart of that are the networking events. So I think across 2024, I did over 30 networking events. So there's always a good selection of events for indies to come to. So whether that's kind of sector specific events or kind of socials, we always have parties in the summer and the winter. So there's, yeah, so hopefully there's something for everybody. And then one of the things that we added after COVID was a WhatsApp group. So we now have a WhatsApp community, and that's a great way for people to kind of stay in touch regularly. So people kind of dip in every day and ask questions or share advice or share opportunities. And it's great to see that kind of, yeah, people can kind of come together regularly that way. One of the great things that we do is on a Friday, we do like a Good News Friday, which I know Get Radio do as well.
When I Get Radio.
And that's always so heartening to hear like what things have been working for indies across the week. So that's really great. I think I find that sometimes the news can focus on, you know, what's going wrong for indies. So it's always really good to be able to kind of share stuff that's really positive and great, and that's Absolutely. What we're here for. So Indie Oxford has really kind of grown and changed and innovated, and obviously we, you know, had to deal with COVID in amongst everything. So COVID, we took everything online and did loads of online meetups, kind of skill sharing sessions. So we do kind of regular sessions on, you know, how to get the most out of Instagram or your marketing, all of that stuff. So yeah, it's been brilliant. And as I said, you know, it's just a joy to work with this community. You know, there are some incredible businesses out there, and we've got over 180 members now. So yeah, it's a brilliant growing community, and it's been a joy to be part of it for the last 10 years.
Amazing. No, thank you so much. Time for another song, and then we'll continue the conversation after this.
The Business Brunch Podcast with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, I would definitely recommend making a note in your diary to listen to the podcast version, so you can hear the first 40 minutes of this show. As Rosie's kindly joined us today to share some really, really good insight into independent Oxford, but also independence in Oxfordshire has really been something we've spoken about a lot this morning. Rosie, you spoke about the last 10 years of independent Oxford, and well done for getting that into about a minute. That you did well there. So I just want to really talk about the future of two things, really. One, the future of Independent Oxford as an organisation, and the vision, but also really the future of independence in Oxfordshire. Like, what can we do to support in independence in Oxfordshire? What are your predictions for independence in Oxfordshire? So some big questions there, all connected together.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Ben. Challenge.
I'm kind, aren't I?
So firstly, the future for Indy Oxford. To kind of carry on doing what we've been doing, really. So, you know, creating great events for indies to come together. So whether that's kind of peer support, sector specific things, or just ways for people to come together. So we do, you know, really kind of interesting meetups like jewelry making, or we have like a mindful art club meetup. So there's always something different, or visiting like great indie restaurants like Arbakina and Pompette. So always kind of looking for like fun ways for indies to come together. So it doesn't feel like networking. It feels like you're meeting with friends, and that's always been the kind of key to the community, I think. So continuing to do that. I'm always open for kind of chats about collaboration. So if anybody ever wants to get in touch with me about that, always kind of keen to have a chat about ways that you know, the larger business community can support indies across the county. So always keen to kind of talk to people about ways that we as a community, as a business community, can support independent businesses. And then I think the future for indies, you know, it continues to be a challenging environment, you know, and some businesses are really, you know, finding it tough. But, you know, as I said before, I think the businesses that are really, you know, really kind of investing in their community are the ones that are seeing kind of real kind of reward. That's always been the key for us, and it's really good to see that's the case, that, you know, the businesses that are reacting to their customers are the ones that are that are here for the long term, and are, you know, really kind of building in a kind of sustainable business model. And then finally, I think, you know, ways that we as a, you know, as a business community, but, you know, broader than that, as, you know, Oxfordshire residents that want to create, you know, an even better county and great places to live, you know, wherever possible, you know, support local, support indie, you know, whether that's through, you know, thinking, right, okay, I'm going to make sure that I spend at least, you know, £5 a week at an indie, or you know, at the very least, you know, sharing posts online, sharing events with friends, you know, just trying to raise the profile of indies is really important, and it's an easy win for everybody. I think there's lots of ways that we can support indies as Oxfordshire residents.
Absolutely. And one of the exercises that we did in our own business, and we're tiny, so by no means were we groundbreaking, but it was a really interesting thing to do. So we, I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago now, we just looked at our bank statements over 3 months, and we just highlighted what could we buy from an independent, what could we buy from an independent. And of course, as a recruiter, we need LinkedIn. There isn't an independent version of LinkedIn that is going to do the same thing as we need it to do. But actually, there were loads of things that we like looked at. Yeah, we can buy our stationery from Aston and James in Whitney. Yes, we can buy our coffee from Missing Bean as opposed to Costa Coffee. And like, it was just a really, really interesting thing. And do you know what? I don't think we've made a single sacrifice as a result of doing that. Like, genuinely, I don't think there has been any downside or any more difficulty of doing that. Like, I've done it for a very long time within my personal life. Like, I will, don't get me wrong, of course I've been to Aldi before, like I'm by no means suggesting that, but actually we will buy our stuff locally if we can. But at the same time, I think that within our business, I was so shocked how many things you can buy locally. And I don't think there really was an additional cost particularly. I don't think that there was a particular additional effort. And I think sometimes we, independents, can maybe, you know, put their effort where their mouth is. You know, we want people to use our independent business, and let's all do that. Like, I think that there has been a lot of, you know, pubs that I go into. I've worded that very well, haven't I? But when you go into a local pub and they've got, I don't know, Stella on tap, why couldn't that be Tap Social? Or why couldn't that be Loose Cannon the Nabbin, which I'm a definite massive fan of? And I think we can, I think if you're listening right now at home, like, if you run an independent business, think about what in your business you can buy independent. What's your thoughts on that piece? Oh, sorry, I got very carried away there, didn't I?
I love that. That is so, I'm going to take that away, Ben. I think that's such a good exercise for businesses to do. I think that's brilliant. And, you know, like you are, you know, if you're swapping out, you know, a supermarket coffee for missing bean to have in your office, you know, yeah. not only are you getting a coffee that's like 100% better, but you're also building a relationship with that other end of business. And you are investing in your local community as well. Plus, as you know, there's probably a myriad of other benefits as well to that. Mm. So there's something so, I think it's quite intangible, but it's so important. And I think when you get it, you feel so much more kind of rooted and grounded in where you live. So if you can invest in local and make those little changes, you know, are there little changes? I think that's such a good exercise. Love that. Then, you know, you feel so much more connected to where you are. And that's, you know, it's been shown through kind of happiness studies that if people feel connected to where they live, that you are happier. So, you know, and supporting local businesses is one way of doing that. So, that's a brilliant exercise. Love that.
Amazing. No, thank you so much. We are coming to the final stint of the show, but I would like to do two things before we finish, although we are very, very much running out of time. So the first thing I would really like to do is really just a repeated signpost. You spoke about it before, but I think a repeated signpost. If you are running an independent business, it's tough being at the top. It can be a lonely place. You're having struggles. You're having a bad month or a bad quarter. What's the first thing that they should do? What's some of the signposts of things that they could explore?
I think reach out. So come to a networking event, meet other business owners. If that feels scary for you, because I know that networking can sometimes feel a bit overwhelming, but reach out to somebody on LinkedIn or reach out to another indie business owner. Because nine out of ten times they'll be happy to kind of meet for a coffee, and I think that's, you know, that's a really good place to start. You know, if you can start building those relationships and making sure that you're getting that peer support, really important.
Amazing. And then my final piece, and I've made it harder for you doing it in this order, but I'm going to put you on the spot. One of the things we do like to do on these shows is leave with a top tip. And you have given top tips across the whole hour. But as a final top tip, is there anything that's fresh, or is there something that you feel that the listeners at home should highlight in their notepad as their takeaway tip to remember on this Sunday?
I think if you're a fan of indies, make sure that you're... support thinking indie first. So always be kind of, you know, consciously thinking about how you're spending and putting indies at the top of your list to support. And then if you're an indie, make sure that you check out Independent Oxford and come along to one of our meetups.
Amazing, great advice, and I'm sure they definitely won't be disappointed. So we definitely encourage them to do so. That is the end of the show. So thank you so much, Rosie, for joining us today, and for giving such practical and do you know what, such inspiring support to independence across Oxfordshire for the last 10 years. So thank you so much for that. Finally, just a reminder, we are going to be back next week with some brand new guests, and really talking about topics that are going to impact on local business. You can also listen to this radio show every Sunday on the radio and online at 11 a.m. There is also a podcast version which is available via every major podcast platform and is released on the Monday morning. And do look out for the video format on the Get Radio Facebook page and their website every Tuesday. But for now, whatever you're doing in Oxfordshire, see if you can make it independent. And we'll see you next week.